and it's a science-based thing too. Like, literally the neurons in your brain, the more you have, the more it takes for you to get happy and to find pleasure.
Wednesday. Welcome to In the Backseat. Today, I have my friend Colleen on the podcast. I'm going to keep this intro a lot shorter than I originally had it because our conversation went on for a while, but it's a great conversation, so I want to keep the majority of this podcast on that. However, I do want to say, Col, thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure you will come on here again. I have to say, Col is somebody who I definitely admire. We are two very different people, but I think we're both pretty introspective and like to talk about these things. So it was a great time. I have to say, I admire Col very much. She's someone who's committed to her kind of like excellence and achieving goals. And I definitely think that's a great person to know and watch and see and have like on social media and in general. She's led a very successful life in her 27 years, and I feel very blessed that I got to talk to her. So without further ado, this is In the Backseat, and this is Colleen.
Hi there.
Hi, Col.
How's it going?
It's going. How are you doing in this quarantine?
I'm doing good. I mean, I think very similar to you. I'm a very introspective person, so I find myself getting lost in my thoughts every now and again. But other than that, doing okay. I'm really lucky, you know, to just be in my house, so it's all good.
Yeah, totally. Are you, Sean's home too, right?
Yeah, he is home, so that's been nice. You know, he's upstairs, I'm downstairs, so we're both kind of just making room for each other. But yeah, we're lucky, you know, it's nice. It's been fun to be home with the dog.
Yeah. Are people still getting out in Conchi? Like, are people going on the trails and stuff? Or?
Yeah. You know, we heard for a hot second they were going to close down the Schuylkill Trail, because that's right behind us. But thank God they haven't. There's a lot of people that have masks on. You know, everyone wants to be careful with how closely they're walking to each other. But we walk our dog on that trail like 3 times a day. So that's the good.
Nice. Good. How's she doing, your dog?
She's good. I mean, it sounds silly, but that's like my biggest worry. We go back to work. We just, you know, we haven't really been putting her in the crate, and just follows us around all day. So, you know, I'm going to feel sad when the dust kind of settles. But again, not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. So yeah, it's been good to have her.
Good. Now, when you do go back, where do you work physically? Like, are you in Jersey? Why do I think you're in Jersey?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So I was in Westchester for a while, and I actually, so in January, I started a new job. So now I'm in Exton, which Exton is just 15 minutes from Westchester.
Uh-huh.
And it's only like a 25-minute drive from here. So I'm in an office building. Luckily, I'm actually my new role. I'm at a software company. So we were pretty quickly. They got us everything that they needed. And I'm able to really work from home pretty successfully. No major road bumps. So that's good. That's huge.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I guess before we get in, I wanted to tell you, like, our little intro, I just mentioned a couple things about you, which definitely stand true, I think, for the whole entire time I've known you, but it's been cool to watch it evolve into adulthood, which is really, like, I see you as somebody who, one, you're, like, committed to yourself and committed to accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish, but it's also very apparent that you work very hard in order to do those things. So it's like this driving force that you have within yourself to do the things you set out to do, which is very admirable. So I'm like happy to talk to you because you're so different than I am in many ways. But in similar, you know, everybody relates on some level. But it's been cool to see that commitment to excellence, even in ninth grade, you know, like to evolve through high school and then for you to go off and do your thing. And then for it to, you have like kind of these fruits of your labor, which is a really beautiful, amazing career, and a home, you know, and a husband now. It's like pretty surreal to me, but I think that it's really awesome. So I was hoping maybe you could give, in a nutshell, you know, and it doesn't need to be a nutshell, however you want to explain your kind of career path or who you are, if you could introduce yourself to people that are listening, I think that'd be helpful for where our conversation will go.
So a little bit about me. So I'm Colleen, and I live here in Conshohocken, which I am. I'm so lucky. My husband, Sean, and I, we've been here for about a year. I started, you know, I went to Westchester University, and right out of college, I never thought I'd end up in broadcast, but I spent about 5 years working at QVC, and I worked backstage for a little bit, which was so much fun. I got to work with so many interesting people, and then from there, I landed this really cool and unique job of being an on-air training specialist. And essentially what that means is there are a lot of people that want to sell their product on QVC, but perhaps their CEO and being in front of the camera isn't their thing. So my team would have them come in and we would go over like camera action, how to sell their product, really QVC brand.
What
and
is,
I did that for a few
years. Can I break down? Yeah. What does camera action mean when you say that?
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of people don't know this, but when I was at QVC, so we were hot live, right? So hot live means that there's no 7-second delay that you see in the news or maybe on sports. So if somebody goes on air and drops the F-bomb, we don't believe it, right? And that happens. You can look at it on YouTube. So really making sure people understand that, you know, when that camera goes red, we're hot live. So what they say is what they say. There's no take-backs. We do have bottles, and we have demos that we can always cut to if something goes terribly wrong, which has happened before, right? Things don't always go perfectly. But for the most part, it's really just them and the camera. So, of course, we can never get them 100% ready. You kind of just have to throw them to the wolves. But that's what I did for a few years, really getting people on air. And that's where I found that I love to train so much.
So that you love to what, now, I'm sorry?
Yeah, really train people. So helping
train.
Them,
mm-hmm.
Get set up for success.
Cool.
And that's what I do in my new role at a company called Bentley Systems. So I've been here since January, and that's been really positive so far. Obviously, this quarantine is crazy, but so far, so good.
Cool. I have to say, like, just from social media and watching Call do her thing, it seemed like... Definitely, I'm sure, a ton of work over at QVC, but also really, really cool, you know, like very, I think a lot of people that will end up listening to this will probably have the same thought, you know, you're like with the Property Brothers or like, you know, working with talent and stuff, and it seems like so fun and awesome, but I know from my own understanding of my aunt's position in production and stuff like that, it's hard work. Like, you are not, it's not just like all... fun and games. It's like a ton of hard work, I'm sure.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's funny. So within my new role now, you onboard, right? So I take all these personal assessment quizzes to really discover what kind of worker I am. And I love the way you describe me, and I really appreciate the kind words. But I actually, if you ask a lot of people in my life, I always was really down on myself because I always felt like I was such a procrastinator. So even, for example, I'm back in graduate school and we have to write these 10-page papers, and I would always wait until the last minute. I'd always get it done. Like, my husband makes fun of me. I never, ever in my life, Kelsey, had a day where I didn't do my homework in high school. But I always did it, like, last minute, but I always did, and I think that's, you're getting in trouble.
I don't think that I ever had a day where I did mine. Genuinely.
But it's a balance. It's a balance. It's a balance. So I wish I could have been more like that. But anyway, I think I'm a sprinter. So I think that's why I really thrived in live television because, like you said, like if your show's at 2:00, you better be ready to rock and roll by 2:00. You can't, you don't get 5 more minutes. You'll get till 2:05, 2:06. So anyway, it's a lot. It is draining, but I think I really thrived in that kind of environment.
Right,
for sure.
Fast paced. So it was very fast paced. Interesting.
Yeah, but really, really cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that, too, about work. They're having you take these personality things and stuff. I'm actually reading a book, and I'm a very slow reader, so I'm only, a quarter way in. But a friend suggested it to me, and you might find it to be interesting as well. It's called The Road Back to You, and it's actually about the Enneagram. Have you heard of an Enneagram?
No, tell me about it.
So I thought it was that, I don't know, well, you're not on, obviously you're not on dating sites, but a lot of times people will put in their bio like INTJ or whatever, and it's this personality quiz that you can take where it kind of gives you a synopsis on your personality, right? But this book is about the Enneagram, which is actually like a triangular looking graph with all these numbers around it. And essentially it says and explains that there's really 9 main personality types, and that these 9 main personality types also have counter personality types to where you shift to when you are in crisis or when you're comfortable. And it's very, very intriguing and interesting to read. But something that's really, I think, cool to notice, and what I got so far out of the book, really with chapter 1 and 2, was the first step in, I think, self-reflection or becoming self-aware or working towards becoming self-aware is actually this giant step in humility. It's being able to recognize, right, like, your tendencies, and it's being able to have a slice of humble pie and be like, oh, these are the things I do, you know, or, like, this is how I react when I'm in crisis. So it's been very interesting, and I think it's so, also it brings so much peace at the same time, you know?
Yeah, no, it's huge. I'll have to look that book up, because I love that kind of stuff. And, so I know I reached out to you, because I started listening to the podcast, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love it. I love what you're doing. I think it's so cool. I love people that follow their passions. I'm, like, so attracted to that.
Thank you.
So, when you're like, if you ever want to be on it, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to be on it. but then I was thinking about, like, okay, well, what am I going to say? Or what do I really have to talk about? So I don't really have the answers to anything, but similar to you, I've been doing a lot of reading. And there's this awesome book by Courtney Copper. It's called Soulfully Simple. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I'm going to write it down, though.
Write it down, because it actually, so it talks a lot about minimalism. Mm. And that's, like, what I've been, I guess this quarantine specifically, I've always kind of thought about this, but really stripping away things from my life. So the other weekend, I totally took apart my basement with Sean. We got rid of so much stuff. The weekend before that, I did my closet. And that's something I've really been struggling with. And you talk about humility, is really like chipping away at this whole idea of like, who am I, especially now, because we don't have these distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I have the answer for you, but in her book, she has this awesome quote, and she goes on all these book tours, right? And she talks about minimalism and what it means to give things away, to live with less, to live debt-free, which is huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone, after she speaks, comes up to her. She says, oh my gosh, Courtney, I loved your speech, but I don't think I could be a minimalist, because I love shopping. I love going out on a Saturday and seeing what I can find, and I love that feeling. I love it so much. And her response, and I think it was just so profound, she said, you know what? I don't think you know what you love. Mm. That's not what you love. Like, I don't think you know what you love. So that's kind of where I've been. I listen to your podcast and so many others, just trying to figure out what I love and what my passions are.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, too. I think, like, you know, you're wise in knowing. I think I'm wise in knowing that you don't know, you know, like, that's a big, huge step in saying I don't know, and I'm excited to learn, and you get to kind of, you know, go through the brush and figure out what you really do love. I'm totally in that boat. And another great book, I know we talked about this behind the chair, I'm sure, was The Japanese Art of Tidying.
Yes.
And that boils down to really keeping what sparks joy in you, but getting clear on what sparks joy in you is a whole nother story, I think, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so going along those same lines, like, just the whole idea of, you know, so the more you have, the more you have to clean, right? And obviously that, like, literally, the more you have, the more literally you have to clean.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, metaphorically, the more you have to clean with relationships and, you know, just that, like, extra fat that's in your life that you need to trim. So I'm trying to figure that out. And, again, I think it's probably something I feel really lucky. We're in our mid-20s or perhaps late 20s.
Oh, I know.
And I know. But I think there are a lot of people that go through their life and, you know, maybe in their 30s, they start to think about these hard-hitting questions. And that's okay, right, if that's where you're at and people are listening. But even though it feels really heavy sometimes, it's humble, right? You always bring yourself to these questions, and I'm sure my answer to these questions are going to evolve as, you know, my life changes.
Yeah, definitely. definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I've been really obsessed, and I still am. I mean, obsessed might not be the right word, but at the core of us, I remember learning this with this other guy that I used to listen to. Brandon Burchard is his name, and he's a good messenger. He sends just like good vibes out into the planet. But something that he talked about was how at the core of every human, we really, really, we want to be free. Like, we crave freedom. So I remember sitting in my old apartment in Chestnut Hill, and I had like a really nice big apartment, and it, you know, had a lot of space. So I just ended up accumulating all this stuff, and I was like, sitting there and thinking about it, I'm like, all of this stuff is, they're just pure distractions from whatever I'm trying to avoid right now, you know, like, however I can fill myself with bags and shoes and even microphones and camera equipment and stuff. Yeah. Back then, I was just doing that, I think as some type of band-aid, but all while dreaming about this van life thing that I want to live. Like, I totally am all about minimalism and getting rid of, but knowing to change the vocabulary to just keeping what really sparks joy in me, but lightening the load, like physically and metaphorically, yeah, I think is just so crucially important to allow space for the good stuff of love and joy and stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, it's huge. And you know what, so you saying this, I just heard this in a podcast. It was actually, I watched it on YouTube, but they do it in a podcast format. So, and I think you'll be really into it. You probably have already heard of it. So it's this whole idea of the pleasure complex. Have you heard of this? Different people might call it different things, but I was like, wow, that really makes sense. So it's this whole idea that, so, you know, the more you have, the more stuff it takes for you to be happy. So oftentimes we look at celebrities and people say, oh my gosh, like, they have 5 cars, and if I could go on that beautiful vacation, I would be happy. Well, if I had $1 million, I would be happy. Well, if I had this, and, you know, even right now, you mentioned, you know, I'm so lucky, Sean and I moved into this beautiful townhome. But even the other day, I caught myself thinking, because now we're both working from home, I was thinking, like, oh gosh, I will be happy when we have a bigger house, because when we have a bigger house, I'll be able to have my own home office. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's in our guest room. Mm-hmm. And then I thought myself, because it's so easy, the more you have, people say, the more it takes for you to be happy. So I'm really trying to focus on, and my husband, Sean's really good at this, like, we'll go out to dinner and he'll get a cup of coffee after dinner. And like, that is his happiness. That's his joy. He gets so much contentment and fulfillment. And even when we go for a walk, and Sean will be like, oh my gosh, did you see those trees? Boy, they look beautiful. Wow, you're right. I'm really trying to keep my, and it's a science-based thing too. Like, literally the neurons in your brain, the more you have, the more it takes for you to get happy and to find pleasure. So anyway, I heard that the other day. I thought that was really profound.
That is really profound. And I think, you know, everything that I hear, I think I relate back to my experience as being a hairstylist. So I think I've been really blessed in the way that I have talked to, and I have had clients that make, you know, crazy money, stupid money, and that live in these big homes and that do all these things. And they are, some of them, sure, are happy people, but some of them are very lost and confused and not happy people as well. You know, so there's definitely not a direct correlation to, you know, having things. I'm thinking for people out there that think that that's the goal, that really idolize the materialistic thing and like the cars and the fashion and all of that. There's no connection to that bringing you the happiness that you're missing now if you are. Totally. And I think that's so awesome. Sean finds that joy in those little things, and you do too, and you will dwell. Like, you know, your the things that Becca made you, the macrame hanging plant things, like little joyful things, you know?
Absolutely. So you're so right about that. So it's certainly baby steps. And it's, you know, I'm sure I've heard you say this, like, you really have to practice compassion with yourself, right? Because I can't be so hard on myself, because you can absolutely take those baby steps, and, again, we'll probably never get it right. But one thing, and I'd love to hear your thoughts too, because I think this is one of the things when I talk about how I've just been feeling a little bit lost in my head. This is what I've constantly been asking myself, and I've been having these conversations with Sean. Like, so we talk about like freedom and happiness, but that's what I've been struggling with. Like, what is going to make me feel free? What is, like, what is it at my core? If it's not the stuff, and I hear so many times people have these great careers, and they say, well, I had this great career, or I lost all this weight, and I had this great body, but I still wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't know. You probably don't have an answer either, but that's what's been in the forefront of my brain. Like,
yeah.
What is it? I think
for me, like, again, I only like to talk on my own experience. So for me, like, there was a point in my life, I think I lost like 45 pounds. I was in the gym like every mm-hmm. other day, like, or pretty much every day. I was like really cut. So my thing has always kind of been around horrible body issues, without a doubt, mm-hmm. never really accepting myself, and wishing constantly that I looked differently than I did. Now, underneath all of those feelings was really my concern with everybody else over my own value and worth. And mm-hmm. it wasn't until I opened myself up to the idea of and a life of faith in something bigger than myself where I kind of understood then for the first time ever that I was just so out of pocket not loving myself and not mm-hmm. accepting myself because of the pure miraculousness, truly, of, like, you being a person right now is incredible. Like, if you're about mm-hmm. statistics, look up the plain statistics on, like, the chances of you getting to be here right now. You know, and then it became this evolving thing into being, I love the term being fed from the outside of love. So I understand God to be synonymous to love, right? And for that to feed me, this love of self-acceptance allows me to live in the present moment and love something truly like a cup of coffee or like, you know, get that feeling when I look at trees or when I see clouds and get that overwhelming sense of, wow, I am so loved and so supported by something outside of me, but also by myself because my purpose is to love. I'm here to love. There's a quote and I wanted to share it with you and I'm just going to jump right to it. And I should know who I'm quoting before I quote, but I remember reading this and it's somebody who was a very successful man. And he said he does not judge his life by the successes that he's had. He doesn't judge his life's like success, right? On mm-hmm. the successes that he's had. He judges his life on how many eyes are lit up around him. And I thought that was so, I got the goosies just now thinking about it. I love that so much because at the end of the day, I do think we're meant to connect to people, whether you're doing it in a training environment and you're making people feel confident and capable mm-hmm. in their positions, or whether I'm cutting somebody's hair and I'm making them feel beautiful or talking to them in whatever way. I think we're meant to connect to people, you know?
Oh, I love that. If you ever invite me back to be on the podcast, I'd love to, like, really take a deep dive into faith with you because I love how candid you are. And I think, too, I saw such a beautiful example of exactly what you're talking about when I had a good friend pass away. And we went to her celebration of life, and, I mean, I can't tell you, they couldn't even fill the space because there were so many people that came from all over the United States, and people were telling us stories of our friends, and so many things that she had done that I didn't know that she had done, and we used to work at a retirement home, and we had someone who was years younger than us, she came up to me, and she said, oh my gosh, you don't know how special she made me feel. You know, we would always kind of tease her and make her laugh. And she said, I would love when you guys would just include me in on your inside jokes. Mm-hmm. And I totally forgot about that. But that was another aha moment because I feel so overwhelmed mm-hmm. when I see, like, take Instagram, for example. People are doing these great acts and people give away money and they help the homeless. And I just always feel like I don't even... When you want to be a good person, like, where do you even start? Because I don't have the money to go out and give people all this stuff. But it is so true. I mean, just being, like, a good person that really does change lives.
Yeah.
But I had forgotten about that until I actually talked to you. So that's a great reminder, right? It all comes full circle.
Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. it, you know, doing it also, it evolves also into, like, I was just thinking about this morning, doing that from a place of fullness from yourself, it fills you. It feels, nothing feels better than giving, like nothing. And when people feel good because you're treating them with that. And to me, for me in my life with faith, it's about understanding that that person is a child of God, is somebody who has this miraculous, amazing thing within them, and you treat them as such. And like, you know, it doesn't always, people that make you feel infectiously good, maybe they don't always do it in the way that is, you know, they're thinking about God underneath it, but without thinking about it, they're doing it. Like, they are igniting that passion, that joy, that feeling of, like, you know, being worth something, you know, treating people like they're worth something is, like, so important, and it feels so good. And I think everybody can think back to when they've had an experience with somebody who's made them feel that way, you know? Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think that's great. One other thing, I don't know how much time we have, but I don't want to get off topic.
No, you're fine.
Okay, good. Because I think when you talk about faith, that's another thing I've been thinking about pretty deeply. So, again, this is probably another topic for another episode, but, you know.
Oh, we're good. Yeah, we're good.
But I know, you know, we were both raised within a Catholic church. And, you know, I'm always going back and forth. I feel so lucky to have grown up within a family where faith is so important. But I think with that, especially as you get older, you kind of struggle and you kind of question. And it's all normal, right? Mm-hmm. So I go back and forth to feeling guilty and then reminding myself that this is a part of growing up. But I do think along those lines, like, when I do feel overwhelmed, my big thing, I have a journal, and I'm just constantly finding myself writing, like, I'm set to surrender, and I do, my prayer these days has just been, you know what, I'm just praying for the good of all, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. I don't know what the answer is for this external turmoil that's out in the universe, like, literally, this global pandemic, the turmoil within myself, like, but I'm just going to pray on it, and I'm just going to put it out to God, or sometimes I say put it out to the universe. So anyway, that's kind of where my headspace has been these days, and it's having these soulful conversations. But as you said, it really, it just like that we talk about, like, not having material things and what makes you happy. I think this is probably a big part of what makes you happy, is just really connecting with other people on that authentic level. So yeah, trying to do more of that, I guess.
Yeah, I think some people, you know, do connect to people, and that's their God, right? Like, that's their religion, is just people and this realm and what's happening now and here. And for me, I think that's what faith is actually really supposed to be about, and what I'm attempting to grow through as I go through it is to realize that, and to connect to more people, and to have community, and to, you know, unfortunately, obviously right now we're quarantined, or else people would be over here and I'd be podcasting in real life. But you're right. Having these really authentic connections to people for me has been, really life changing, to be honest, because I think that I walk a good walk and I talk a good talk because I've been doing this for 8 years of my life, you know, like behind the chair. But these conversations have been something much different and much deeper and more impactful for me on a personal level, because they mean so much to me. Like, I feel it through myself versus just being able to show up and perform in a way, you know?
Sure.
But I feel the same. I feel very fortunate that I grew up with a faith. I definitely went through and still do go through, you know, feeling shame or guilt, and getting comfortable with the fact that there is no finish line, I think, is like the best thing that I could do for myself, or anybody could do, to continue to extend compassion to yourself and love to yourself, you know, throughout this, these ups and downs and twists and turns, because there's no finish line. We are meant to continue to be fallible humans here, you know? And I don't know. I don't know either. I think that's part of the kind of fun of it too. We don't know. So, you know, we got to do our best while we're here, type of thing.
And something I tell myself, and I, one of my favorite artists in the whole entire world is Pink, right? She's from the area. And I just love her. I love her music. But she said this, and it's not really an original quote, but I tell myself this all the time, like, being a human is so hard. Like, it is hard being a human. So if you are feeling, you know, a certain type of way, or life feels like, I say that to myself a lot, like, you know what, being a human is just really hard, and it's so messy. So walk us through it, because this is just, it's so hard what we're doing. There's no playbook, or I should say there's a million playbooks, right? And no one knows how to do it right.
Right, that's true. And you should be, I remember a quote too that I liked. It was like, you should be leery of anybody who claims to know it all or have it all figured out, because nobody does, you know? But at the same time, I do like resources and I like reading other people's things, but it doesn't mean you have to take anybody else's opinion or thought or experience as fact, because everybody is going through something different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
You know, the last thing I kind of wanted to say too, to you, just like friend to friend from my own experience, of losing somebody close to me years later. And I don't know if it was years or months, but I really started to realize when I started to lose either family members or friends and people that I even just had small experiences with in life, right? That impacted me in even a small way. I kind of reflected on those people and I thought, what did they really teach me in those moments, you know? Whether it was to have fun, somebody that I lost at a young age was constantly just having fun and living life with urgency. And it was like, okay, it reminded me, have fun here, dude. Like, loosen up and have some fun. Stop being so serious. Stop being so stressed. Enjoy yourself. Life is short. Somebody else who I didn't have many interactions with, but when I did, I understood him as somebody who just went for it. Like, who fully committed himself and worked extremely hard at what he did and went for whatever his goal was. And that was like, got it, noted, okay? I got to keep that in my pocket, you know? Or whether it was to speak up and use my voice and, like, you know, show up and speak. That's another lesson that I learned through people. And, like, constantly reminding ourselves that people that leave this realm, their mission isn't done yet. It's not done because it lives on through the impact, through your legacy, through what people learn from you. So we owe it to ourselves, but we owe it to them, to everybody that's come before us, to continue to learn and push ourselves to grow in the lessons that, like, they taught us by being them, you know?
Yeah, I love that. It's so true, and it really, it just changes who you are, right? It totally remolds your whole entire perspective of what you thought life was or what it was supposed to be. And you know what, I talk about how I'm having all, you know, we're in quarantine, so I just have so much extra time, but the questions that I'm asking myself, like going back to minimalism, or like, what does it mean to be happy? Or, you know, I always thought being successful was having a really great job and having a family, but I don't know, I'm a big believer that you can't have it all, meaning if you want to have this amazing career, go for it, but you might not be able to coach your kids' soccer games or be there for every dance recital or vice versa. And it's totally fine, but you really have to find, like, what makes you happy. And it just seems like this world's so backwards. Like, we're on Instagram, and, you know, it's so easy to get caught in that world of social media. I know you've talked about that with some of your other guests. So I try to, you know, going back to being humble and just grounding yourself and not getting lost in some of the craziness that the world puts out. So, no, that's great. Absolutely tough.
Yeah. This is definitely another topic, the social media thing, because I could go on forever about it. But to boil it down to really what makes you happy is, that has to mirror what makes you happy in real life, and be more concerned about what's happening, in front of your face and in front of your mind, you know? Like, people, I think, I love that you're introspective. I'm introspective. I think life is about balance, and we get to be people that also explore getting back into our bodies more than being in our minds, you know? Through, like, working out and yoga and different things and connecting to our roots and stuff, I think is very valuable for us. But in the same way, I think people that live out of their minds get to kind of dive in and not be scared of it and kind of embrace it and, yes, surrender to what's up there, because it's never going away. Like, all you got is you, you know?
So true. And the world's, it only feels like it's getting crazier. So it's so important now to be grounded more than ever.
I know. It does feel like it's getting crazier. But I'm going to hold on to faith, and I'm going to hold on to my little podcasting and just, like, you know, focus on the joy and the happy and the glass half full.
Yeah, no, seriously. I know we're winding down, but I said it. I'm so inspired by people that just go for it and are passionate. So I think it's so cool what you're doing. I'm definitely listening every week.
Oh, thank you. I'm like figuring it out as I go, I have to say. I would like to get like a little more consistent with something on when, you know, like I love podcasts and I love when they do a little something fun. So I'm trying to figure out what I can do. So all ideas are welcome. Shoot me a message or DM if you think of anything.
All right. Sounds
good. So perfect. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for coming on. I love talking to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Say hi to Sean.
Yes, I will.
Alrighty. Bye, girl.